All right.
Greg is at APWA conference.
We'll kick him out.
Wenatchee, I guess, is...
What a miserable guy that.
Wenatchee.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the October need meeting. We will begin, as usual, with introductions. I'm Steve Bacon, Clark Regional Wastewater District.
Andy Safari, Development Engineering, Public Works, Clark County.
Jody Creamer, Community Development. Leslie Ernest, Community Development.
Jefferson, Kingston Homes.
Don Russo, Shrubby Williamson, and Wyatt.
Eric Galima, SGA Engineering.
Andrew Gunther, PLS Engineering.
Mike Odrin, Olson Engineering.
Seth Pauling, AKS Engineering.
Henry Shattenkirk, Clean Water.
Jeff Noble, Clean Water also. All right. We have a quorum, so we can now review. Sorry. Just a reminder, deed meetings are recorded. Audio is posted on the website. If you've got a cell phone, set it to something that won't be too annoying.
What song you like?
Something.
Would be something that's fun to dance to.
Yeah. Like Saturday Night Live. Now we get up and dance.
Okay. Review and adopt the minutes from last month's meeting.
I've reviewed and moved to adopt with one correction on page 3. It's just a spelling error. Second open bullet point that begins on page 15 and 16. Ecologies is spelled incorrectly, so if somebody could correct that before it's issued. Other than that, I move to approve.
Thanks.
Got, actually, we do have one other on that same page. You've got a run-on between Bazala and return.
Oh.
So, just...
Tough crowd, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I'm not writing these.
Right. This would be like, geez.
Might as well add.
I'd give it up.
Other than that,
we have
a motion and a second to approve the minutes with minor corrections. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Review of upcoming events.
Yeah, the next deep meeting is November 5th, 2:30 to 4:30. The agenda will be the one of them that we know so far, the freight rail overlay update for Giaco and Alvarez. Clark County Council work sessions and hearings. They are usually the work session on Wednesday at 9 and then hearing on Tuesday at 10, except for the first Tuesday, that is at 6 p.m. County Council work session for 2019-2020 budget, October 17 at 9 a.m. County Council work session 2018 annual review and dockets. Community planning will be presenting on October 24 at 10:30 a.m. PC work sessions and hearings. CRUT CFP update and parks plan amendment on October 4 at 5:30 p.m. Work session on urban holding removal on October 18 at 5:30 p.m. and a public hearing for Scrap CFP update and parks plan amendment on October 18 at 6:30 p.m. And that's all we have so far. And also there is a letter. Could I do that?
Sure.
We have an announcement from the Department of Ecology. They are stating that a formal draft of the Phase 1 Municipal Stormwater permit for Eastern and Western Washington Phase 2 are available for public comments. We invite whoever would like to comment to review starting August 15th until 11:59 p.m. on Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. That's the comment period. That's all.
Member announcements?
Two quick things. I know Steve and I both attended a Parks work group at the DEEB subcommittee, so we meet again. Is that next week?
Next week.
So we'll keep you guys updated as we come up with some recommendations from that group. So first one was a good discussion. Hopefully we can get a little closer on where we're going to go at the next meeting. So we'll keep you updated. And the other one is the Functional Oversight Committee, and I'm not sure who else is on that. I am, and are we anyone else? I don't think
so. Jamie's on it, right?
What's that?
Jamie?
No, Jamie's not in there, is he? Ali? No.
Jamie was, but he hasn't shown up in two other meetings.
What's the Functional Oversight Committee?
So that's the whole city data implementation. It's focused on a certain process, so it's focused on rural SFRs.
That's right.
I can tell you my quick take on it is that there's going to be a lot more predictability in the process. That's kind of the direction that it's going. And Ali, tell me if you have something different.
Yeah, thing. No,
I think I was a little more optimistic that we'd be able to simplify the process a little more and get rid of things. But we find a lot of things are mandated, and there's not a lot of things we can do. So, I mean, I'm still kind of trying to push for trying to make the review basically proportionate to the amount of risk and the complexity of it. So. What's happened with all these regulations is when you do it, a rural SFR, it's almost like doing a subdivision or a short plat. You're having to go through all the same studies. You're having to do a tremendous amount of work. And you have a much less sophisticated team and a much smaller budget. So it's really been a problem for rural builders. So trying to simplify the process, I think, is one of the main goals. And then the other thing is make sure they're educated and they know how to do it. So some of the things that might be coming out of it, just to kind of watch for, is kind of like a pre-op meeting for builders before they go into it. And then the other piece would be a better checklist, perhaps, that shows exactly what's required so you know what to expect, so you know if you need a wetland study, if you need geotech. Like, a lot of these things, you're getting a permit that comes in and they don't have all the pieces, and they're significant studies. So trying to get that early on in the process. So it might not be easier, but at least they'll know right away that it's going to be harder. And to try to simplify it as much as we possibly can.
And the focus is only on the large lot.
Has there been any discussion about possibly having training associated with that, similar to maybe the fully complete training? That all of the builders are... Maybe, you know, those that take the training have completed it might have a bit more of a fast pass through the process. And then the second question that I have you guys talked about self-certification as part of this?
Somewhat, although those are kind of probably a second tier at this point. So looking at the available resources, a few things are implemented right away. Mm-hmm. And I think, would you say that the two main ones are kind of pre-app and checklist?
Also the some type of a modification committee.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's some discussion in the city that the staff is unable to make comments or if there are little changes from what the concrete workers, they don't feel comfortable to try to make a call. So there is a discussion about some type of a committee with the people coming in, the staff that know something about that. Let's say wetland buffer issue, for example. They would be in that committee to talk about accept flexibilities, rather than having the permit services, the staff making the call. It wasn't well received. Eric had some issue that we are adding another layer another hurdle to pass But again, it could be, the way we are seeing it, it's going to be a very simple process. And then we also, one of the reasons to do that is to, when you see the repeated situation, like the situation that happens all the time, and you keep approving that, there is no reason not to change the code, for example, you know, to...
Kind of like road modifications.
Yeah, change the code when, you know, there are things that you keep approving because, you know, there is a certain situation
right.
that nobody can deal with. Like Eric said, it's really tough to deal with the DOE. So make sure you comment on the having differentiation between a 200 lot subdivision and a single family, you know, rural lot. Maybe that's a good time to at least comment. I'm not sure if anything's going to happen.
So one example, and I know we're going a little off topic, but we do have a little bit shorter agenda. The example of that committee, and then one thing kind of example I brought up was access driveway spacing for rural lots, that's always an issue. I don't know how many road mods we end up doing to be able to place a driveway, which we need access. You can't landlock, you can't say you can't have access. So they're always approved. So I guess my concern was, do we need to go to a committee to grant the driveway access? I don't think so. I think what we need to do is have two competent people on both sides of the table, and someone can say, you know what, looks like you're doing the best you can on this driveway, we're just going to approve it. We don't need a roadmap. We don't need to go to committee for that. That just needs to be one of those things that we can simplify.
Right.
And we know that you have to do the best you can. Instead of saying, you know, on a single family home, it's different than a road going up to a road. It's low volume. You got to grant access. Having some kind of concession that you try to do the best you can to meet the spacing and to clear site distance within reason and to the maximum extent practical.
Right.
That's kind of all you can do on these SFRs, unless you're going to say, you know, you can't build on them. And that usually doesn't happen. We just do a lot of paperwork. So my goal would be to get rid of some of that paperwork. And I think the city's goal is to make sure they have their butts covered, too.
Right.
You know, if there's an accident out there, say, hey, you let me put a driveway here. It's not your fault. I mean, you'd have to document it somehow, but I think there's an easy way to get there. So without having to go through a bunch of committee work. So that's kind of the stuff we're talking about in the meeting, just to kind of give you an insight. And there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of people putting a lot of resources into it. And I think we're going to end up with something that'll, you know, like I said, simplify the process a little bit, but definitely increase the predictability.
Is there somebody from Clean Water on that committee?
Yeah, a few.
Okay, good.
Yeah, there's, how many people are on that?
Yeah,
15,
20? We have Brent Davis from Clean Water.
Clean Water,
Actually, Brent Davis is not in
Clean Water.
I don't believe there is anybody from Clean Water, as far as I know.
Jeff is volunteer.
Yeah, we can volunteer, Jeff.
But now we wish he's the end of the
show. Les Watson or myself.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, though, to have somebody from Clean Water there.
Yeah, actually, I mentioned that to Mitch that maybe Ron Swanson, since deals with the stormwater.
Sure.
He's always good. I think Rod's great on things like that.
You're off the hook.
All right. So that's some of the other stuff going on, kind of subcommittees.
Great.
So,
Any other member announcements? All right. Moves us on to item number two, which is the plat language update.
Come up there.
Please do.
Is this similar to the stuff that you presented to the state project delivery stakeholder group a while back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this looks awfully
way a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. We ended up splitting it off from that from that group because that kind of slowed down.
Yeah. It almost halted.
Right. Yeah. Has been.
Good afternoon, everybody. So once again, my name is Jeff Schnabel. I'm with Clean Water in Public Works. Henry Shattenkirk works with me down there. Has been integral in helping to put this this proposal together that we're kind of going to show you today. Something that development engineering staff Ali and Greg and a few others from their shop, as well as Clean Water and the PA's office, been working on for a while. It's been kind of a stop and go thing. Mike and I were talking about, we had kind of wrapped this in with the
project delivery
group for a while, and that kind of faded away a little bit, and we wanted to kind of split this back off and see if we couldn't go ahead and make something happen on the stormwater plat language. Reason being, it's just been kind of an ongoing issue for not only staff, but for proponents of projects, as well as down the line with HOAs and homeowners once they are attempting to interpret what has become somewhat inconsistent and unclear plat language when it relates to ownership of stormwater tracts and easements for the access to those, and who's the easement to, who gets to do what on this area, those kind of things. So we've been working with folks to try to do basically three things: kind of clarify the definitions that are involved in this, simplify some of the language so we save some space on the plats, and then also increase the consistency in what we're seeing so that it's a little smoother process when we're reviewing and all the way through. So what I've got for you today is probably not final form, but what we're really kind of thinking, the way we'll roll this out is almost in the form of kind of a cheat sheet that would be made available to project proponents and or, you know, survey companies, whoever really needs it at the end user level, in a fairly concise format with a couple of example sheets showing, you know, a lot of the major stuff that we would see. And then kind of use it as a guide, so that when we get these things in, they aren't going to be quite as squirrely as they have been. So right now, you pick up 10 plats, you'll see 10 different ways that things are said, which, you know, sometimes it's really fine, and sometimes it's really not fine. So we're trying to get rid of the ones that aren't fine. So I don't know if folks had a chance to take a look at this, how soon you got this before the meeting, but like 4 seconds.
Yeah, as we walk.
Yeah, right. So, funny, me too. So we could take a few minutes. I don't want to take a lot of your time today, but we could take a few minutes to kind of walk through these kind of three sections, and I can just kind of show you the direction we're heading. And then if there's any immediate questions or concerns, we can certainly talk a little bit more. Does that sound reasonable, Ollie?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. So I don't know that we really need to go through the terms, the glossary stuff, but we did kind of add a few of these on the front page just to set the grid and kind of clarify what we're talking about in certain things. But we're essentially dealing with maintenance easements granted to various people, inspection easements granted to Clark County, and then the dedication and conveyance of property and the granting of easements. And so some of those terms are really used interchangeably sometimes, but for purposes of plats, we'd like to see them used in a consistent way. So unless there's questions about some of that, we can get back to it. But basic rules is the next section. So we have a little section on tracts and a little section on easements. Essentially for tracts, any tract that contains treatment and flow control structures, each of those tracts needs to have an assigned ownership, right? It's either Clark County or it's going to be a subdivision homeowners association. Other than an HOA, storm tract should not have ownership described as multiple lot owners. An individual should generally not be named the owner of a facility or treatment, right? It's going to be an HOA or it's going to be a county.
So if there's a, maybe this never happens, but I'm just thinking of if there's a storm facility that benefits, say, 3 or 4 individual lots on a shared driveway, mm-hmm. would that then only be the responsibility of that facility go to those 4, or would it be the entire HOA?
I think you could do it either way.
It happens a lot.
Does?
Yeah.
So it does. Yeah. So it does go to individual lots.
Lot of it's how the maintenance agreement's done. So a lot of times, so a few years back, they tried to simplify the CC&Rs, and it was similar to the plat.
Yeah.
So they did these maintenance agreements tied to certain facilities as well. So you split them out of the documents, and it also gets split out of the plat. So a lot of times, you don't put maintenance information on the plat.
Right.
You just call it an easement and just set a document. I guess what you're showing here is you could call out the maintenance who's responsible, but it should probably have some kind of documentation, like a maintenance.
There's still going to be that background. Detail in the covenant language, right?
Oh, okay.
That'll kind of give you the extra.
Yeah, just to emphasize, I think here tracting is a stormwater track. usually you don't have those in the dry bay because some
right.
of the
that's,
dry
that's
bay and dry bay perk a track, but that's not a, what this is intended for.
Right. Okay.
We say track A, you know, access to so many lots, and you know they have stormwater in there. That a lot of time are the owners are responsible, the ones that use it. But
that's
here
right.
we are talking about stormwater tract.
Okay.
Usually you don't get those for like 2-3 lots.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Because they are most of the time 2-3 lots, they are usually private, and they call them easements.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
Which gets
here. That's the difference here. The difference between an easement and a tract.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a stormwater tract here.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks, Ivan.
Sure.
So yeah, that's that one. Easements, basically all easements in some fashion have to state the purpose, the responsible party, and where applicable that the county has access for inspection purposes. So that's just a matter of sort of cleaning up the easement language and saying what we mean, meaning what we say, right?
And Jeff, you might yep. need, under Washington law, that the easement also has to have conveyance language.
Right. To someone, yeah, granted
grant,
to.
Grant convey.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
If I had actually kept reading up, I would have answered my own question.
Sure. Yes. We'll go back to the track. I mean, and you guys are saying a storm track should not have ownership described as multiple lot owners. Are you ever, I mean, what? Trying, how to figure this out, how to articulate it, but. HOAs are getting harder and harder and harder to establish and maintain. So if you have a smaller subdivision, you know, with, you know, 10 lot owners and a private stormwater tract, something like that, it would be multiple lot owners in the CC&Rs that they'd be responsible for. We've done this where we don't form the HOA. If they want to form an HOA, they can, but we don't form the HOA for them. Is that allowed then under this to, because you're saying you can't have multiple
yeah,
lot
I think,
owners.
Well,
but then again, I feel like you guys can't force
probably,
us to do an HOA.
Right, that's the thing. We can't do that. I think on the downstream end of that, it's kind of a complicating factor if a single, you know, if a storm tract is owned by 10 separate landowners that don't have a, you know, any kind of a thing that brings them together as an HOA.
That's the
not so much for us.
You need a maintenance agreement backing it up.
Yeah, for
well, yeah, a maintenance agreement
like
or something, right?
Yeah.
Maintenance, that kind of stuff.
Which can either be built in the CC&R
without having an HOA.
Yeah.
What's that?
You can have CC&Rs without having an HOA.
Correct.
Exactly. That's what I say. Just put it the language is what we've done into the CC&Rs and not have an HOA.
Yeah. I think as those come up, I mean that's the way we have to do it, and obviously we're not going to list out. You know, probably on a if we did a version of this that dealt with that kind of a thing, maybe with that as an option here, where it's just, you know, lot, you know, owners of lot of tracks A through G or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Lots 1 through 12
well, I mean,
are responsible jointly for blah, 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 right?
You could just reword that. I mean, if this were a code section, you could just reword it to say if an HOA has been formed, then multiple lot owners should not be responsible. Because then you leave it as, if there isn't an HOA, and that's a private facility for that subdivision, all of the lot owners in there, and you're kind of stuck with having to contact 10 people to
you are,
maintenance
but
stuff done.
Yeah. You are, but they're in the CC&Rs, and I mean, the state just snuck through, I don't know how people are aware of it, but the HOA laws for single family residential have now become basically condominium laws. And it's absolutely ridiculous. Public offering statements and things like that got stuck through. No one knew about it. No one wasn't on anyone's radar, as far as I know. But it's about that thick that you got to read. And we spent a lot of money getting up to speed on it. And I'm just against HOAs now, unless it's a big subdivision. But you know, I'm saying that you're going to see people push away from HOAs a little bit because it's just gotten really hard.
So here's another example that comes up a lot that actually doesn't work well with this. And it's not necessarily a tract, it's a facility.
Okay.
But you have like a common infiltration facility that they all kind of tie into,
mm-hmm.
and they spill out into each other, and that's kind of how they work. So they have overflows, and they have a connection point. So say like 5 lots are tying into that, it should be described as that particular easement and facility is owned and maintained by the 5 people that hooked into it. So it's
that's
part
an easement,
of,
right? Not a track, though.
It is, but it could very easily be a track, too. What's the difference, really? I mean, you're basically, what's the reason why that the track containing a stormwater facility, this particular is an easement, but that's really no different. It's really, the concern is who's owning and maintaining that system, who's responsible
right.
for it. And